Alrighty. Well, we're in part two of our current series, Raising Kids in the Gospel. And before we get into this, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the empowering of your spirit. Father, we just thank you that you're going to awaken us that to the truth that we are more than just our ability. We have Christ's ability. And so as we go through this teaching this morning, renew our strength, give us wisdom and tools necessary to raise kids in a world that seems to be shaken. In Jesus' name, amen. Many Christians fail to realize one of the most fundamental truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And parents bring that same problem into parenting. And we are talking about parenting, but as you are going to see as we go through this, this message today can apply to all different areas of your life. This is applying the gospel to your life. And this problem leaves parents feeling unprepared, unable, and discouraged. It affects the way we think, talk, and respond to our children. It tempts people to look over the fence and desire what other people have, to think that they're doing something, they got something better than what you have. It makes parents give in to the temptation to say and do things that they know in their heart that they shouldn't do, and nor should they say. What is this silent but deadly problem? Too many parents do not understand, celebrate, and rely upon God's grace. And I can tell that you guys didn't get excited about that. That you do this. You take God's grace for granted. See, there's nothing more important to faithful, patient, loving, and effective parenting than to understanding what God has given you through the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have past grace, and we have future grace. And most people understand past grace and future grace. Most people, though, don't understand the gospel. And because of this, it affects our lives drastically. The gospel, what is grace? What is grace anyways? Unmerited favor? Most people think that grace is just God turning a blind eye to what you did naughty. It's just God forgiving you. No. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's God's strength in your weakness. It's God's ability working in your life. It's God ever present doing in your life what you cannot do. God's grace is His favor. It's His strength. It's His ability. It's His wisdom. It's Him. Grace is not a thing. It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the grace of God and manifestation. See, most understand past grace. That is what God, by His grace, has done to provide for your past. Right? We understand that because of the work of Jesus Christ, that our past sins, our past wrongdoings, the things that we did wrong in the past, that Jesus covered that. And most Christians and most parents understand future grace. That's what God is going to do for us in the future, in the sweet by and by, right? Up when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. But very few Christians and very few parents understand present grace. God's ability, what God has done through Jesus Christ that affects your here and now in the trenches of this earth. We're good at past grace, and we look forward to future grace. But for most people, Jesus hasn't done anything about their present circumstance. And it's because we haven't awakened, we don't understand present grace. Most fail to grasp present grace, the right here, the right now benefits of the work of Christ for all of us living between the already and the not yet. Most parents think the phrase, the gospel of God's grace, has nothing to do with the exhaustion that they can't shake, or the anger that they can't seem to defeat, or the street-level wisdom that they feel they lack. You need to know, first of all, as a child of God, and secondly, as a parent, that you have been given not only glorious past grace and future grace, but amazing present grace for your situation, what you're going through. The work of Jesus Christ reaches you wherever God has placed you. This reaches out to you in the darkest, confusing, weakest moments as a parent. And it provides light, wisdom, and strength for the situation. What stops God's grace? What stops the grace of God from working in your life? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Verse 30. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. What gets in the way of grace? You. You and your ability. You thinking that you can be a good parent. Apart from God. See, it's not that God doesn't call the noble. It's not that he doesn't call the strong. It's not that he doesn't call the wise of the world. It's just that they've humbled themselves and they have come to realize that compared to God, I'm a fool. Compared to God, I'm weak. Compared to the righteousness and the lordship and the kingdomship of heaven, I am not noble. God cannot use you until you realize that you have nothing in you that he needs. You're not a good parent because of your ability. Actually, your ability will hinder you as a parent because it moves you to self-righteousness. It moves you to being hard. We're going to talk about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Like everything else God has called people to do, God doesn't call people to be parents because they are able. Read the Bible. God has not had a qualified person working for him yet. Abraham wasn't able. Moses wasn't able. Gideon wasn't able. David wasn't able. The disciples weren't able. I'm not able. And you're not able. And when we come to that realization that we're not able, then God can work his grace in our life. God did not create human beings to be independently able. He designed us to be dependent. Independent ability is like independent righteousness. It's an illusion. So stop beating yourself up because you feel inadequate. You feel that way because you are. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of you want a fruitful family life? How many of you want fruitful kids? How many of you want to see the will of God and the goodness of God and the characteristics of Christ manifest and grow in your children? All of us do, right? For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of us believe, how many of us apparent realizing with the realization that we have to do it through Christ Jesus? Is parenting void of nothing? You can do nothing? Do you see how we compartmentalize the gospel? Most of us don't think the gospel has anything to do with parenting. What did Jesus' work on the cross have to do with parenting? It allowed his spirit to dwell within you. It allowed his grace to move in you, his favor to be upon you, that you might be a branch within the vine, and the same sap that runs through the vine runs through the branches and bears the fruit. You can do nothing apart from Christ, and that includes parenting. Like I said, you could apply this to so much in life. You cannot be successful in your job apart from Jesus. Well, I'm successful, yeah, but everybody hates you. So that's not success. Right? Why would a perfect God ask inadequate people to do such important jobs? You know, if we don't have the ability to be good parents, to parent the way that God intended, to be successful parents, why would God call us to be parents? Why would he give us that responsibility in the first place? God calls, oh, don't worry, I'll answer it for you. When I want you to answer, then you'll know. God calls on unable people to do important things because he wants you to come to know him, to love him, to rest in his grace and live for his glory. The reason why God calls you to do things that you are unable to do in yourself is because he wants you to be dependent on him, to come to know him through that circumstance, to have a relationship with him. This is what it's all about. It's about going back to the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, where God walked and talked with man, and there wasn't this hiding in the bushes caused from sin. He wants you to realize that every day, every moment of your life, that he is there with you, and he has enough grace for anything that you're facing that day. He calls you to do the impossible so that in your search for help, you would find much more than help. You would find God. This is good. God does not ask you to be able, but willing. Do you know that's the only thing that God ever asks from you? Just be willing. He doesn't ask you to be able. You can come up with all the excuses, and we just read those people, Moses, Gideon, you know, all these people that told God, I'm not able. And finally, he had to show them, I know you're not, but I am. Just be willing. Just be willing. And plus, no kids want to be parented by someone who thinks that they're able. Because they know you. Your kids know you. They know you. And they know that you demand more from them than you demand from yourself. They know that you're not able. You can put a mask on and act like you're full of wisdom, you know all things. But when you stand in that place of pride and of your ability, your kids can see right through it because they know you. Just like your wife knows you, just like your husband knows you. Parents that don't see themselves in desperate need of God's grace will be proud and self-assured, because they are moved by their ability rather than their need of God's grace. Because of that, they lack patience and understanding. See, we preach grace here, but we live the law at home. We like grace for ourselves, but we put the law down for our children. We're going to look at that next week. Able parents tend to assume their children should be able to. And they tend to fail to be tender when the weakness of their children get exposed. If you think you're able, if you think that you can do it, if you think that there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to understand why they shouldn't be doing what they're doing right now. When you get mad at your kids, when they are doing things that they're not able to do, or they're not doing the things that you think they should be able to do, you're getting mad because at that moment, your kids need to be parented. Think about that. We get mad at our kids when they need to be parented. Able parents pride themselves in keeping the law and tend to give their children more law than grace and are quicker to judge than to understand. And don't worry, this isn't about not disciplining your kids or anything like that. You bring discipline in grace, not anger. Where the kids actually learn something, not fear something. That's a huge difference. It's hard to live with people who deny weakness. Some churches are this way. That we come in with a self-righteous attitude that there's no issues in our life. Everything's going good. I am righteous, I'm holy. Got my tie on. None of you guys, no ties here today. But it creates an atmosphere of hardness, and it's hard to live with people. It's hard to live with people who deny weakness, because people who deny weakness tend not to be patient, loving, and understanding with people who are weak. I've come to understand that I'm not the only one that's weak. And I don't care what mask any of you put on, anyone that comes in here with a mask on, I see that they're no different than every other human on this earth. That they're weak, scared, and need the loving embrace of a heavenly Father to give them identity, security, and the grace to live. James 4, chapter 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What stops grace in your life? When you're able, when you're proud. He gives greater grace to the humble. When you humble yourself before your wife, when you humble yourself before your kids, when you humble yourself before your husband, it allows his grace to come into that atmosphere and to do things that you cannot do on your own. Your inability is not the destruction of your parenting, because God meets people who humbly admit their weakness and run to him for help. Could it be that our overconfidence in our ability may be the real reason you are at odds with your children? See, so many parents do not reveal to their children the gospel, that they are in desperate need of God's grace. They're in desperate need of dependence on God. So many kids, you've heard it, they grow up, when I was a kid, my dad was larger than life. No, I don't want my kids to say, my dad was larger than life. I could never live up to what my dad has done. I would want my kids to say, my dad humbly depended on God. See the difference? We do not live the gospel in our homes. There's no present grace in our parenting. Able parents seem to be upset when children demonstrate over and over again what they need is to be parented. If you are mad because your child needs correction again, you're mad because at that moment they need what every human being constantly needs on the face of the earth, and that's a parent's care. You never outgrow the need for a parent's care. And that parent is your Heavenly Father. But if you're always aware of your need of the Father's care, it is more likely that you will embrace the need of your children for that same care. See, if you don't realize that you need God to care for you, if you don't depend on God, if you don't need God's love, you're going to think, well, my kids don't need that. So why would my kids need a parenting? A parent's love, a parent's correction, a parent's kindness and tenderness. God knew that there would be times when you would have no clue, when you would want to quit and walk away. He knew that there would be moments when anger grips you and your children get under your skin. He knew every piece of your struggle as a parent, and he knew that the only thing that would help you would be himself. Would be himself. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Does this apply to your parenting? Does this apply to your home? Or no? This just applies to preachers that get up behind a pulpit. See, the Bible, we don't apply it to our lives. God wants to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Do you know those desires in your heart for your kids? Those prayers, those pleads, those screams in the night? God says no matter how passionate you are, he desires to go beyond that. How does he do it? Through the power that works within us. Through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And he does it for all generations, just not the generations of the disciples. It's for this generation. He wants his power to be manifested in your life to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or hope for. But if you're able, if you're not dependent on the power that works within you, you know what you get? You get exactly what you got. What I got, I don't want. I want this. I want exceedingly abundantly above. What do you have as Christian parents? You have the best thing ever. You have God in every moment of your day. What you have as Christian parents is that you have the best thing in the world, and that's God in every moment, every situation, everywhere you go, God is present. The question is, will you remember that? Will you remember that God is with you? Are you dependent on God? God's grace works to open your eyes to see yourself as a parent. Able, self-assured parents tend to be self-righteous, and self-righteous people find it too easy to judge, condemn people who are not measuring up to the standard that they assess that they are living up to. Think about this. We're not talking about just church people. We're talking about parenting now. If you're self-righteous, you will hold your kids up to a standard that you think that you're living up to. For the truth is, you are more like your children than unlike them. And they see this. The truth is, there are few struggles in the life of your children that are not in yours as well. Materialism, relationship issues, wanting my own way, attraction to the world, subtle idolatries, and the list can go on and on. What your kids struggle with, you're no stranger to. When you understand, this will transform your parenting. Instead of approaching your children with self-righteous outrage, You can be moved toward them as one who has been changed by grace to comfort a sinner that needs to be changed by grace. A parent that knows that they need grace tend to want to give grace to children who are just like them. When you realize that you need the grace of God, you will tend to want to give grace to your children. And again, what is grace? Because right now you're thinking, oh, this sounds like some Dr. Spock parenting or whatever. Grace is favor. It's ability. It's strength. It's not turning a blind eye to this misbehaving. It's you coming in and strengthening and giving wisdom and power to your kids to succeed. Not the law, which the law condemns and gives no hope. Right? Our kids need hope. They need strength. They need to realize that they can do it, and mom and dad is standing right there with them, that they have an identity in Christ Jesus, that God has a future for them. Not just a law that just says that you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, you never live up, you never qualify, you never do this. A parent that knows they need grace tend to want to give grace to a children that's just like them. God's grace rescues us from ourselves. When you're frustrated, mad, discouraged, unkind, abusive, bitter, joyless, vengeful, or irritated as a parent. Did I miss any? You don't need to be rescued from your children. You need to be rescued from yourself. You see this cup of water right here? If I was to shake this water like this right here, and water spills all over, why did the water spill all over? Why did that water spill all over? Yeah, that seems like the correct answer. Water spilled out because I shook the glass. If I didn't shake the glass, the water wouldn't have spilled out. Well, actually, there's another answer. Water spilled out of the glass because water was in the glass. If that glass was filled with milk, I could shake it all I wanted. I could shake it for all eternity. And guess what would happen? No water would ever come out of that glass. You ready for this? When we are shaken by sin, weakness, rebellion, foolishness, and failure of our children, what comes out of us, words, actions, and attitudes, is already inside of us. What comes out of you as a parent isn't because of your kids, it's because it's what's in you. This means the biggest ongoing problem as a parent is not our children, but us. Our children don't cause us to do and say the things that we say and do. Like I said, we can apply this to a lot of things. If you blame your children for your bad attitudes, actions, and words, not only will you embitter them, but blaming them, you will fail to reach out for the help that is yours in the rescuing, forgiving, and transforming grace of Jesus. When we shift the blame, we fail to grow as a parent, and we repeat the same process and the same patterns over and over and over and over again. When you are willing to confess you're the biggest problem in your parenting, you are on the road to very good things in you and in the work of as a parent. Just so you know, I'm right here with you. God's beaten me up through this whole thing, so I need God's grace. God's grace grows and changes you as a parent. Psalms 103:13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We must never forget, as we seek to parent our children, the Heavenly Father is parenting everyone in the room. Like our children, we need to grow and mature. Like our children, we haven't progressed beyond the need of a father's care. Like our children, we need to parent a parent who will not turn their back on us, even when we stumble and fall again and again. God hasn't just sent you to do his work in the lives of your children. He will use the lives of your children to advance his work in you. God's grace works to make your heart tender. Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Has parenting pushed you towards patient gentleness or impatient harshness? Has parenting pushed you into the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? Remember, your words and actions are always a true reflection of what you believe about yourself. Many parents are unaware that they parent out of a hardened heart. You know, you can be born again and still have a hard heart, an unbelieving heart. If you had a stone and you squeezed it with all your might, what would happen? Yeah. Nothing would happen to the stone. It resists change. A hard heart, a hard stone resists change. Hard-hearted parents don't think that they need to change, but they demand that their children change. So we yell at them about not yelling. We discipline them and scream at them and fight with them about not fighting with each other, as we fight with our wives, as we fight with them. We demand our children's change, but we ourselves don't change. We require, hard-hearted parents require their children to be kind while they permit themselves to speak and act towards their families in ways that are unkind. Children lose respect for a parent who is content with the do as I say, not as I do mentality. God's grace liberates you from the prison of regret. One of the most beautiful things about God's grace is that it welcomes you to a fresh start and new beginnings. Yes, you will make some mistakes, but the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. See, living in regret. See, as we went through the first part of this message, now we're towards the end, some of you might be sitting here, like, as God dealt with me, and you're feeling regret. You feel that I'm really not able to be a parent. That's good, because now his grace can come and do in you what you are not able to do. His grace can come like cleansing water and cleanse off the past and bring a new start, a new genesis to your life. Living in regret robs you of confidence. Living in regret renders you timid. See, living in regret is just the first step of acknowledging your need for the Father. Regret is a first step of humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. But you can't live there. You can't live there. You got to allow God's grace and what God has done to the cross to take you to where he wants you to go, take you into the promised land. Living in regret renders you timid. Living in regret kidnaps your courage. Living in regret weakens and steals your hope. Living in regret drags your past into your future. And with all of its remembering, regret can be tragically forgetful. What is it that regret forgets? What is it that regret just happens to forget? Regret tends to forget the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore the entire burden of your regret, guilt, and shame. You can't live in regret. You live in Christ. Your identity in Christ and what he has done on the cross, the gospel, his grace being manifested in your life. God has called you and given you everything you need as a parent. He gives you himself, and by giving you himself, he showers his amazing, forgiving, rescuing, transforming, empowering, wisdom-giving grace down on you. Listen to me. God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. And if you've been called to be a parent, God has equipped you with everything you need to be a parent. And God never sends you, he never has you go without himself going with you. You are never alone. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He has equipped you, and he goes with you. Sure, there'll be times when you find yourself at the end of your rope. But fear not. The Savior's rope never ends. When you find yourself at the end of your rope, just grab a hold of the rope of Jesus, because his rope never ends and he never leaves you alone. Amen. This is part two. We're building on something here. We're reconstructing our whole view on parenting. Last week we looked at how the number one job of a parent is what? Create a God consciousness. And to reveal to their kids what God has done. Right? And this week, we've seen that you're not able as a parent. And the sooner we come to realize that, the better. And your children need to see you dependent on God. Your parent need to see you filled with the grace of God. And that doesn't mean you don't give instruction. That doesn't mean you don't discipline. It means you do it with motives as a parent rather than a prison guard, a disciplinary. I always think it's the difference between a teacher and the guy in the medieval times that had the black hood over his face with the executioner. Yeah, that's what vision comes to my head. A parent. Do the kids, do they see you as someone that loves? Even, do you know that even given a spanking, I know you're not supposed to say spankings, that your kids can realize that you love them with a spanking if you do it correctly? I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm adjusting. I'm tweaking. I'm acknowledging and humbling myself that I need God's grace. And I ask you to do the same. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your amazing ability that has been manifested in the work of Jesus Christ. You have rescued us. You have delivered us, that we no longer have to live according to the wisdom of this world, but we can live according to kingdom wisdom. We no longer have to live according to the works of the flesh, but we can manifest the fruit of the Spirit that you've put within us. Father, help us to humbly proclaim that even in parenting, we are unable and we are totally dependent on you. Just like our righteousness, we have no righteousness apart from you, and we have no ability apart from you. Anything that we have is just an illusion. It's all about you. And Father, we just thank you that as we start this journey, as our eyes are open, as we become dependent on the smallest things in life upon you, that your glory would be manifest, that your kingdom would be manifested in our homes, in our communities, and in the surrounding areas, Lord. And we thank you that we can rest, because this is not work. We can rest in your spirit. We can rest in the finished work of Jesus. We can trust you. We can trust you with our kids. We can trust you with their future as we trust you with our future. And we trust you as our Father. We love you. We praise you. And we celebrate you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Have an awesome, awesome day.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.